It's interesting how the tone the Lord is taking with us and the direction that He's moving us in. But the thing that He laid on my heart, as Susan said, Psalm 68, He got me up a few days ago. I don't know, maybe it was a week ago. And just got me up, and I said, what is it today? And He said, Psalm 68. So we read Psalm 68. And the next day, He got me up, and I said, what is it today? He's, Psalm 68. Let's take a look at Psalm 68. And I said, what am I not getting about this that I need to keep coming back for? And really, the Lord wants to give us keys to how to go about this. We've got so many ideas, you know. There's so many teachings. There's so many. A lot of us have backgrounds in the church. Some of us don't. But it's like there's all kinds of. How do you do this sort of thing? How do you pray? How do you do spiritual warfare? What do you do? And so I was starting to read Psalm 68, and the Lord was pointing things out to me and saying, "Okay, this is my job. This is your job." Sometimes it needs to be spelled out very clearly for us. Okay, because we tend to cross that line very easily. So Susan read part of it. I'm going to read it and make a couple of observations, and then I'm just going to share a couple of illustrations. May God arise, may His enemies be scattered, may His foes flee before Him as smoke is blown away by the wind. May you blow them away as wax melts before the fire. May the wicked perish before God. That's God's job. That's what He's doing. That's what He does. What is our job in this scripture? But may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Sing to God. Sing praise to His name. Extol Him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord, and rejoice before Him with what? With all the things that He is. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in His holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing. But the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. Okay, just listen to the sound of the psalm, the tone of it, the tenor of it, what the Lord is saying here. When you went out before your people, O God, when you marched through the wasteland, the earth shook. The heavens poured down rain. Before God, the One of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel, you gave abundant showers, O God. You refreshed your weary inheritance. Your people settled in it. And from your bounty, O God, you provided for the poor. So far, everything that the people are doing is rejoicing, being glad, settling in the land that the Lord provides, and being provided for. And worshiping. The Lord announced the word, which is what Steve was alluding to and Susan was talking about. The Lord announced the word, and great was the company of those who proclaimed it. They didn't originate it. They proclaimed what He announced. It originated with Him, and they just proclaimed it. They repeated it. Kings and armies flee in haste. In the camps, men divide the plunder, even while you sleep among the campfires. The wings of my dove are sheathed with silver, its feathers with shining gold, which is a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit and His work and His anointing, and just in the midst of all this. When the Almighty scattered the kings in the land, it was like snow fallen on Zalmon. When the Almighty scattered the kings in the land, kings representative of principalities and powers and authority figures and all the heads of all of the kingdoms and all of the places that stand in defiance against what the Lord is up to. The kings were scattered, not just the people following the kings, but the authority structures themselves were scattered. The mountains of Bashan are majestic mountains. Rugged are the mountains of Bashan. Why gaze in envy, O rugged mountains, at the mountain where God chooses to reign, where the Lord Himself will dwell forever? The chariots of God are tens of thousands and thousands of thousands. He's got His own army, folks. We are the army of God, but He has a spiritual army that is very real and very active. The Lord has come from Sinai into a sanctuary. When you ascended on high, you led captives in your train. You received gifts from men, even from the rebellious, that you, O Lord God, might dwell there. Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Every time the Scriptures talk about us, we are on the receiving end of something He's doing. And what we give to Him is just the worship and the rejoicing and the happiness. That's what we've been doing. We've been doing the giving of rejoicing, but we've been receiving everything else. Our God is a God who saves. From the Sovereign Lord comes escape from death. Surely God will crush the heads of His enemies, the hairy crowns of those who go on in their sins. The Lord says, I will bring them from Bashan. I will bring them from the depths of the sea, that you may plunge your feet in the blood of your foes, while the tongues of your dogs have their share. Yuck. It's a pretty graphic illustration of victory, isn't it? Now, your procession has come into view, O God. The procession of my God and King into the sanctuary. In front of the singers, after them the musicians. With them are the maidens playing tambourines. Praise God in the great congregation. Praise the Lord in the assembly of Israel. There is the little tribe of Benjamin leading them. There the great throng of Judah's princes, and there the princes of Zebulun and Naphtali. What a beautiful description of the people of God, the army of God, in their praise and celebration before the Lord. Summon your power, O God. Show us your strength, O God, as you have done before. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring you gifts. Rebuke the beast among the reeds, the herd of bulls among the calves of the nations. Humbled, may it bring bars of silver. Scatter the nations who delight in war. Envoys will come from Egypt. Cush will submit herself to God. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing praise to the Lord, to Him who rides the ancient skies above, who thunders with mighty voice. Proclaim the power of God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose power is in the skies. You are awesome, O God, in your sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to His people. Praise be to God. It's a description of two jobs. Our job and His job. And from the looks of it, He does all the work. We get to settle. We get to be provided for. We get to enjoy peace. We get to worship. We get to be in the sanctuary. And we get to enjoy watching Him do all this stuff. Now, there's something else that he wanted me to share that I said that a couple of days ago. I was up early and I just started thinking about a guy in Scripture who, just a tremendous, powerful guy, who ended up having some issues, but was, you know, a tremendous, tremendous person. His name was Moses. And the reason the Lord wanted me to talk about Moses was because Moses was a guy who had been, he'd spent 40 years as a servant of Egypt, 40 years in the desert as a servant of his own in-laws, right? And then 40 years as a servant of the Lord. And the key thing about Moses the Lord wanted me to show you was he wanted me to talk about the staff of Moses. Because the Lord wanted to make it very clear to us as we talk about praying, as we talk about the nations, as we talk about spiritual warfare, as we talk about all these things, He really wants to keep us from making some of the mistakes that have been made in the past. And one of those mistakes is very clear. In the book of Exodus, in the 17th chapter, among the many things that Moses did, he was in a situation in a desert, and the desert was the name Desert of Sin. How do you like that one? Traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst? Why did you do it?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses. Now, before I say this, do you remember how Moses, the whole staff thing in the first place? Do you remember? Throw the staff on the ground. It became a serpent. Now pick it up. The first part was a lot easier than the second part. I'm not sure I want to pick up that serpent. Moses reached out and grabbed the serpent, and the serpent became a staff again. Okay, so God showed Moses some power, right? And He kind of focused that power on the staff. It was kind of a focal point for Moses. Moses could get a handle on that, so to speak. He could kind of, okay, this is God's staff. This is the staff that God used to do this stuff. God turned into a serpent. He does things with it. When He was in Egypt, right? That staff was in His hand, getting used. Stood before Pharaoh with the staff. That staff was kind of a focal point of God's power for Moses. So the Lord said, in verse 5, the Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile. And go." I mean, again, also, strike the Nile, the water part's kind of awesome. Wow, this staff is pretty cool. God's power is in this staff. "Strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Okay. So this staff, which is just this focal point of power, Moses probably feels pretty good about the staff, doesn't he? You know, as long as he's got the staff, you know, God can tell him what to do, and he just uses that staff, and things happen. And he's feeling pretty confident in the staff. So the same thing happens again later in the book of Numbers, chapter 20, verse 1. "In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh. Then there Miriam died and was buried. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron." You know, this happens a lot with them, as you know. That one miracle barely dies in their memory, and they go up and they need another one. "They quarreled with Moses and said, 'If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord.'" Who fell dead before the Lord because of sin. So if only we had died with them. Yeah, we are, aren't we? "Why did you bring the Lord's community into this desert that we and our livestock should die here?" They say the same. "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." So Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water." Did you guys catch that? Take the staff, but speak to the rock. "You will bring water out of the rock for the community so that they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence. It's so key because Scripture keeps saying, the staff, the staff, the staff. We keep hearing, so Moses took this. So what? I mean, in other parts of Scripture, you just assume that the shepherd has a staff. But they don't. The Lord doesn't say, and so they took their staffs and went on their way. It doesn't say that. Here, though, we keep seeing the Lord pointing out that Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. He hit the rock twice, because the first time the water didn't come out, so he hit it again and the water came out. And I said, "Lord, what happened to my brother Moses?" Because Moses is our brother, folks. He's our brother. Okay? I said, "What happened?" And the Lord said, "Moses forgot that my power is not reliant upon a thing or a technique or any kind of instrument. The power of God was revealed when Moses obeyed the Lord and believed that the Lord was going to do what he's telling him to do." He said, "Go strike the Nile with this staff, and you will pass through." Moses took the staff and did exactly what he said. Did the Lord need to use a staff to create that miracle? Not at all, because there's so many other miracles we see in Scripture where there's no instrument involved. And Moses got kind of focused on that staff, and he forgot that the Lord revealed his power through Moses based upon his faith and obedience. Very simple acts of faith and obedience. And Moses took it into his own hands. And you know what? It was very costly. The short-term gain was that the Israelites got water. The Lord did it. The Lord gave them water anyway because they needed water. They asked for water. Moses asked for water. God gave them water. But the part that's pretty harsh about this is that Moses didn't get to enter into the promised land because of this. He didn't get in because God said, "You did this in front of all the people." The Lord took it as an affront. It's like, in front of all the people, you disobeyed me. And I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm not going to do this, but what is it you don't want us to do? He said, "Don't forget that it is me. I do everything. I do the miracles. I do the parting of water. I bring the water out of the rock. I heal the leprosy. I heal the blind. I raise the dead. I do all the work. It's all my power. It's all my power. The saving of people is my power. The breaking through the stuff is my power. Friends of mine I knew who were on drugs and in a full-on drug-induced euphoria walking down Sunset Boulevard, who the Lord broke in and they got saved and sober in 1 second. I've got friends with stories like that. You've heard our stories that are similar in terms of the sovereignty of God. So as we enter into any kind of a prayer, or the Lord is talking about some heavy things, you know, in regards to the nation. And I don't believe it's just the nation. I believe that it's the nations. The nations. Scripture says that all of the kingdoms of the earth are the Lord's. I mean, He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He sets kings in place and deposes them. He is the Lord of the earth. He is the Lord of the earth. And even though the enemy may be a prince in the power of the air, Scripture said in Psalm 68 that the Lord, He's powerful in the air too, isn't He? So the Lord said, "Don't forget that the only way to do this is to hear what He's saying, believe that He will do it as we pray." That is, if He says, "Go up to someone and lay hands on them and I'm going to do this for them," we should be able to do it. And believe that He's going to do whatever He's going to do with them. That He's going to do whatever He's saying. Sometimes He doesn't tell us. He says, "Just go pray for that person." Sometimes he says, go speak to that person. Sometimes he says, say these specific things to that person. He told Moses, speak to the rock and water will come out. And if Moses had spoken to the rock and never lifted his hand at all with that staff, water would have come out. Because it's exactly what the Lord told him to do. Moses got angry. He was addicted to the staff. He got focused on that. Okay? The Lord doesn't want us to do that. And I said, well, Lord, how does the staff equate to anything that we may have? I said, I'm asking. And I felt like the Lord said to me, personally, He said, don't, as Moses had a staff that was power, there was power that it worked powerful things, things happened powerfully by using the staff. He said, don't forget that I've given you gifts. Don't let them become like the staff of Moses. That is, they're from the Lord and the Holy Spirit uses them, but it's the simple act of faith and obedience combined that makes everything happen. And the Lord does all the work. He works all the miracles. He parts the seas. He wakes the people up. He wakes the nation up. He does everything that He says He's going to do. And all we have to do is this simple act. And in Psalm 68, they rejoiced and settled in the land and enjoyed basically the provision of God. And He said, just know what your job is and what my job is and keep it simple. Just keep it simple. It's not about technique or anything else. It's about, I heard you say this. I'll pray it. I believe that you're going to do it. Or go forth and do it. But it's not about works. Unless they're works like, go and take the staff and do this thing. But then it's not a work. It's a work with faith. It's a work with faith. But it's not us going out on our own strength and our own steam to try to accomplish something. He wants to keep us from that. Because there's just nothing in it but death and frustration. And He wants us to go in His power. And the only reason we have His power is because He said, go. I want you to go. And then we go in His power. So it's just a simple receiving. A simple doing when He's asking us to do something. And as we've been talking about in these meetings for so many weeks and so many months, being connected to Him enough to hear it. To hear Him say, this is what I'm saying. And just take it up. And go with Him when He says go. And Moses is awesome. And you know, Moses got to hang out with Jesus in the Transfiguration. I mean, it's like God didn't exactly... I mean, He made it up to him. Okay? He made it up to him. He got to hang out with Jesus in the mount. And obviously, he carried a lot of weight. But He did make it very clear to Moses, you're not going to the Promised Land because of this. And I want to go on the Promised Land. When we were sitting there on the couch, I saw something. And as Susan was sharing, I wanted to share it. And it was this. I was standing up on this crest of a hill, and I looked down in the valley. And in the valley, there was this enormous amount of people. And the Lord was showing me what the Israelites must have looked like. You know, that the millions of them. What an awesome sight that must have been, being led by a pillar of fire. A pillar of fire big enough to lead millions of people. Think about that, folks. We're not talking about, you know, we're talking about big. Through this dark valley, and I saw all these people, and Moses leading them, and the elders leading them, and this big pillar of fire, and by day, you know, a pillar of smoke, and I looked down and I saw all these people, and I got excited about it. Because it was this neat army. And I said, and it's like I saw that, And I was looking at that and I said, but Lord, You came as Emmanuel, God with us. And not just a pillar of fire, but with us, present in our midst. Not a tent of meeting that we set up over here, you know, that's something only a couple of people get to go into. But literally, Jesus hanging out with all of us, in the midst of us, as we go and as an army. And as we go. And it's like, the vision that He gave me in that was to counteract the vision that Susan got of the army of the enemies coming and collecting all these people and moving on and all this stuff going on. But there was an army of the Lord with all of us heading towards a promised land that is a land of healing, right? A land of being with Him, that place where we run with abandon towards His light that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. It's like, that is the promised land being with Him, but it's like He is going to lead us as He's leading us as an army. And it's like He wants us to see that too. We have to see that. We have to see it because we want to be in it. We want to be in it, connected to Him, and the healing and all the good stuff that He's doing happens as we go, just like the purging and all the stuff happened with them as they went with Him. He does that with us, but He is with us in it. And there is an army of God that is going to be amazing. And Scripture says that all of creation eagerly awaits for the sons of God to be revealed. It eagerly awaits
and needs.
And what is that going to look like? People rising up, connected with the Lord, fearless to do what He asks them to do, walking with Him through all the places that He wants them to go as an army connected to each other, connected to Him, with the hosts of heaven and 10,000s upon thousands upon thousands of fiery chariots all in accompaniment, going forward, rejoicing and worshiping in that warfare and celebration. It's a glorious thing. It's not a dark thing. But it's a glorious, rejoicing, celebration, festival of fellowship and love and warfare all happening at the same time. They're not separated from each other. They're all together with music and singing and worship and joy. And we are going to go out and that army is going to collect people. It's going to collect people. And it's going to invade the other places, all the places that the other army has tried to invade. It's going to invade them, and the Lord's going to be pulling people out of there. And it's going to be a marvelous, miraculous thing, and it's what He's planned to do. And if you guys doubt me, just read this book. Go through the book of Revelation. See what He does. But it's going to be absolutely marvelous. But you know what? Let's not do it in our own strength. Let's not do it in our own steam. Let's do it simply. Let's just be those simple worshipers that go and just do the thing that He asks us to do. Let's not smack the rock with the stick when He wants us to speak to it. He didn't even say shout at the rock. He said speak to the rock. And when it's time to smack something with a stick, let's smack stuff with sticks. Okay? But let's just do what He tells us to do. Amen?
Amen.
That's it. But I do want to pray. But I know you want to say something. So.
Yeah, that, you know, the verse 24 of Psalm 68 says, they have seen your procession, O God. The procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. That procession word is very like the dream. There's a procession type celebration kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it's an invading, you know, kind of procession. There is a procession of God as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it says, they have seen it. They have seen your procession. That's what we need.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be very aware of the procession of God.
That's right.
And what it produces.
And join it. And join it. You know, we need to join it. And all the stuff that He's saying. You know, I believe that. I believe that the Lord is going to... I mean, there's a lot of stuff I could talk about, but rather than doing that, it's like I believe that He is going to... He is going to manifest His kingdom on this earth. And I mean, I know there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth in the future, and I know there's a lot of stuff we could talk about in the book of Revelation, but I mean, I believe that there is going to be a manifestation of the kingdom of God on this earth that is going to be absolutely magnificent. And whether it's done in the midst of a tribulation or after, before, whatever, that's not the point. Is He's going to do it. He's going to reveal His sons. And that means before creation. That means in front of everybody.
That's right.
He's going to do it. And He's been putting us in shape for that for a long time. And He's been saying this to a lot of people for a long time. But He's working towards it. He's doing it in nations. You know, He's working everywhere. But I believe that this nation is a nation that He wants to use, because because so many of the freedoms that were written in, so much of the dynamics of this nation that have allowed, that allow a lot of things to, that invasions to come in and are the same freedoms and things that are also available to be used to the pouring out of the nations and have been in the past. So, you know, I was born here. He put me here, so I believe for this nation, but I also believe for Africa. I believe for the Middle East. I mean, I just go, Lord, what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do in all these places? But I'll start with, okay, what's the next thing I need to do?
Yeah, it's this territory right here is what's paramount. And when this is taken care of right here, of the increase of his government, there shall be no end.
Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.
Yes.
You know? But we are only powerful when we're walking in that simple faith and obedience. Because then we know that we're completely empty of our own power and steam to accomplish this stuff. So we just go, just tell me what to do and how to do it, and just tell me what to do, and I'll do it simply, and then you bring the water from the rock and water the nations with it. Because I spoke to the rock, and all I did was, don't look at me, I just spoke to the rock. He told me to speak to the rock. He brought the water out of the rock. No glory here. No pride. It's like, I'm just walking each step. Okay, part the water so the people can get through. Okay, great. You parted the waters. I could never part water. That's what he's looking for in us. And he's warning us against getting caught up in anything else than that. Because he doesn't want us to bear that burden. He wants us to bear the burden of, tomorrow I want you to go do this. You know? And that's enough, plenty, you know? Just to believe him for that stuff is plenty for us. You know, to be able to step up. So I'll pray. And ask him to make it clear to us, you know, really speak it to our hearts. Because it's one thing to be a hearer of the word, but to be a doer of it. Oh, Lord, get us there.
Absolutely.
Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you make it so clear to us that we are to let you be God. And we are to believe you and your power. And we are to believe that you are capable of anything that you choose to do. And that it's your plan and it's your world and your universe, and people are yours, and you choose to do and move however you want to. And Lord, I pray that we would so understand our role and believe you for the things that you're telling us you want to accomplish, and just agree with you that we will do whatever our part is in that, and let you reveal that part to us too. And not try to take on all sorts of, you know, our own plans and strategies and our own ideas about how something's going to get done. But just ask you, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to say? Or just what do you want me to pray or believe? And let you walk us through all of that. And just believe that whatever outcome you have planned, you will perform. And you will manifest your presence. And if you're telling us you want us to pray for this nation, and that you're going to do things like break in on people and save them sovereignly, Lord, then help us to pray the prayers that you want us to pray. Help us to speak the words that you want us to speak. And help us to believe you completely and trust you to do all that you say you're going to do. And to be very simple in that walk with you, Lord. And Lord, you said in your word that if we pray, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their land. And Lord, so all we need to do is we need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to humble ourselves, knowing that we can't accomplish any of this on our own. And we need to seek your face and pray. And then you will heal our land. And Lord, we pray that you would heal our land, not just this country, but our own personal territory. Our families, ourselves, our marriages, our kids, our parents, our land and our state and our nation and this continent, that you would heal our land, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we would see your army, that we would see your chariots that are thousands upon thousands, that we would be encouraged, Lord, to march with you through all the places you want to take us. And that when we rise up in militancy, Lord, it would be because you put in our hearts to do it. And not in our own flesh, our own pride, our own arrogance, our own thinking that we can accomplish anything in our own strength. But in your power, in your might, and in the simple obedience of following what you tell us to do. We pray that you would do that. And that you would continue to reveal to us how we should pursue this, Lord. And as Susan said, how we should wake up. What does waking up look like in this? And help us to wake up, Lord. And not to be complacent or to be negligent, but to be quickened by your Spirit. And Lord, if we are any old bones, if we are old and dry bones in these areas of our lives or our Christian lives, that you would breathe upon them, Lord. And you would raise them up and you would knit them together, Lord Jesus. And we would walk forward as the army that you have purposed. And Lord, I admit that there are areas of my Christian life where I am old bones. I have let that die. And I pray you would breathe upon it, Lord. And give me that fervency again to seek you and to believe you for great things. And not just for my life, or not just for my family, or not just for my friends, but for the people I don't know out there. For people in authority, for our governors and our president, and for the leaders and the senators and all of these people and judges and courts and all of the people out there, Lord, who have the ability to influence laws, who have the ability to influence people's way of thinking, for our university professors, our textbook writers, our teachers. Lord, I pray that you would put that upon me again, that burden. And for your people, Lord, to all wake up and join together in this great army that you are building, that you have purposed. Lord, let us go forward in that. And let us do it in a very simple and basic way, so that you will get all the glory and all of the praise, and we will worship you and praise you. Because it will be so clear to us that it's all you. It's all you, Lord, and not us. We thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you for it.